We've been talking about the Christian life, and we talked about most recently here about the Lordship of our Jesus Christ and what that meant for us in our lives. And you know, this past week in my devotions and my Bible reading, I've been reading through the story of Israel's history, and there's been something incredibly that's reminded me of my life and of real life in their history. And that it seemed that the disobedience to the Lord and their making wrong choices destroyed so much in such a short time. It destroyed so much in such a short time. And then there was a cycle of rebuilding. And it amazes me to realize that to rebuild takes so much more time, so much more effort, is so much more painful. There's a spiritual truth in that history, in that cyclical history of Israel that's there for me and maybe for you too. And that is that the spiritual growth that I enjoy in my life, the spiritual headways that I make in my life, is so often changed in an instant by a simple choice I make. And that which I worked so hard on, or I watched in wonder as God did it in my life, somehow, by a choice I made, I lose, so to speak, spiritual ground. Rebuilding takes so much more effort than building new. And if you've ever been in a renovation project, you will know that. How can we win over the temptations that bombard us each and every day? How can we stay pure? How can we keep our tongues from saying things they shouldn't say? How can we change bad attitudes and bad habits? How can we deal with the addictions, the chains that we sang about that hold us? I remember as a teen, I accepted Christ when I was 12 years old, but I struggled in that early faith all through my teen years. And I remember laying awake at night, Sunday after Sunday, promising God that next weekend would be different. Remember that? Do you ever have those types of days? I won't do it again. I won't allow myself to give in to peer pressure. I won't give in to the addiction. I will be free. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. That's not victory. How would I deal with a pornography addiction in my life? I didn't want it. I wanted to be rid of it. I was a believer. Do you have those seasons in your life? It's easy to speak about the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to say that I want Him as my Lord. But how does that ever become reality? How does it become something, your faith becomes something that actually is there every day of the week? That change began to happen as I realized this truth in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2 there. When I began to realize that I couldn't do it. And I began to read, and I began to immerse myself in what the scriptures are saying here. Chapter 1, Paul's prayer. But his prayer was that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope. Okay, key word. Because if Sunday after Sunday or day after day, whatever it is, you do become hopeless. But he says that your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power. And that power is for us who believe. As a 12-year-old, as a 15-year-old, as an 18-year-old, that power was there because I was a believer. But for me to begin to understand the extent of that power, this next verse, verse 20, became so key, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places and realms. That power which raised Jesus from the dead is a power that is available to me. And then he goes on in the next verses to describe how complete that power is. But in chapter 3, verse 20, that we sometimes use that as a benediction. And Paul says this, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. So how can I live that successful Christian life? How can my Christian life be such that it isn't always living in defeat? That it isn't always me determining I'm going to do better? This power that Paul talks about is identified as the Holy Spirit working in our lives. The Holy Spirit working in our lives. He says, be clothed with power from on high. You may want to turn to Luke chapter 24. Be clothed with power. This is one of the key truths that I had to understand in my life. There's a lot of other Christian truths, I'm not saying that this is the only thing you need in your Christian life, but because we wanted to be out by 12 o'clock, we're going to have to limit ourselves a little bit. This is one of the key truths that as I began to understand it, is that I need a power source. And one of the reasons this connected with me so much is I loved power. I love power. I enjoyed having the fastest car. There's nothing sweeter than seeing your cousin or your best friend in the rearview mirror. I loved it. And I began to see what it is that made that power there. I loved it when I was working for farmers and when the era began to come and they started moving into four-wheel drives. I love driving those big tractors. And then I started driving truck. That purr of power and the feel of it. I never grew tired of it. Before I became a pastor, I drove truck for about 10 years. And do you know, to this day, the best time to hear that diesel is about midnight, pulled beside a red light or at a truck stop. And I still itch to feel, to be in that cab. There's something there. But you know, in order for that to be translated to the wheels, a lot of things happen. And I can think of a big farm equipment that you run these days. Do you know that you would use a lot less fuel if you never engaged the seed drill? You'd use a lot less fuel in your combine if you just ran around the field. But what purpose would that have? The reason for the power is not to have just have power. When we were teenagers, we loved noise, and it sounds to me like teenagers still love noise. When you hear their trucks and their snowmobiles and their quads, why do you have to change the mufflers, boys? I got my first new car when I was 19, and before I brought it home, it had different tires and wheels, and it had dual exhaust with loud mufflers, and I remember idling through town, and I wasn't half a mile out of town the first day that I drove it that the red lights went on. And so he said to me, he said, step on it. So I did, very gently. He said, no, get out. So he stepped on it. Vroom, vroom. He said, if I hear that in town, you're going to have to take your mufflers off. And my cousin didn't listen, and he had to take his mufflers off. I listened. But that power sounded good, but it didn't do anything unless you could actually make it go. And I began to realize that the power of the Holy Spirit in my life was there. It was available. But just because it was there and it sounded good on a Sunday morning to hear about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that didn't mean that I would actually engage Him in my life. But when I began to engage Him in my life, things began to change. In Acts chapter 1, and the book of Acts, the start of Acts is Jesus is here still in chapter 1. In chapter 2, we have Pentecost, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Weeks later when it is Pentecost. But I just want to draw our attention a little bit to some of this in Acts chapter 1, because here's Jesus. It says that on one occasion He was eating with them, and He gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised. And we've talked about gifts. You cannot earn gifts. You cannot earn the Holy Spirit. He is a gift that you receive when you are saved. The Father has promised that, and Jesus spoke about it. He says, John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, what a wonderful truth, right? So, when they met together, they asked Him, Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He says, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by His own authority. Aren't we like that? Is that the point Jesus was trying to make? They missed it. We can be so concerned and we can give attention to things that are not our concern. Jesus said, here's the promise of the Holy that the Father has given you. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit as a gift. They don't catch that. They're worried about when the kingdom is going to be restored to Israel. You'll see how this can play in our Christian lives. He says, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We see the source of the power being identified as the Holy Spirit. I forgot to read Luke chapter 2. Because this is right around the same time. And actually, it's the same writer here. Luke also wrote Acts. And here Jesus has risen from the dead in Luke, and He opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He told them that this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. What part does witnessing play in this? Well, not only does God want his church to grow and to spread through this power, but witnessing has a key in a part to play in our lives. What happens when you boast? What happens when you make a statement to someone? You always remember that, right? We call it eating crow. Isn't that what witnessing is about? What happens when we let others know about our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? All of a sudden, it impacts our business dealings. It impacts what kind of an employee we're going to be. It impacts what kind of husband, wife we will be. It impacts what kind of a student we will be. Why? Because we begin to verbalize our faith. But we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. But when we witness, we engage the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're telling others about Jesus, then you are going to do your best to live for Jesus, right? Because that's what you have claimed. That's what you have said. And in fact, it makes it easier to say no. When I began to apply these truths to my addictions, I also began to let others know that I had an addiction. That's a tough one, isn't it? There's a lot of shame and humility involved in letting others know that you have an addiction. But when you do, then all of a sudden, there's a new reason to say no. You see, it is engaging the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is, sometimes we say, it is accountability. What happens when we begin to do this? There are a lot of promises that our Father, that God makes to us. When we begin to walk and begin to engage the Holy Spirit in our lives, then promises like no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God is faithful, he will provide a way out. 2 Peter chapter 1, he talks about his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Romans, we can only take time to look at a few verses in chapter 8. But he says, you, however, are not controlled by that sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And here we go again. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, that Spirit is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. A little bit later in the chapter, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Paul in Galatians chapter 5, the chapter that talks so much about the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. But before he even gets to the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, he says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law." And then he finishes that context, that chapter, by saying, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Keep in step with the Spirit. That actually brings us to keep on being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5. I also love going to tractor pulls. And I'm sorry, but the ones I like are the souped up ones, not the standard ones. But why? My favorite is probably the 806 International. That was standard, except it had three turbos. And I watched him open it up. And as it still ran pure diesel, and every time a turbo kicked in, it was just a cloud of smoke. It had the standard transmission, hadn't been changed, and yet those tires were spinning at over 100 miles an hour. But he was on the track. Why wasn't he out cultivating his field? Can you imagine the fun I would have had as a teenager if my dad would have had that? Boy, could I work fast. What's the difference? This passage of Scripture that we're looking at here in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go down to verse 18, and then we're going to come back to verse 20. But 18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Be filled in the Greek verb means keep on being filled. This spectacular tractor is of no value on the field. We love spectacular. The miracles, the gift of tongues, healings. We love spectacular. And there are times in the life of the church and in the life of the believer where the Holy Spirit comes upon us in the power of the spectacular. But you cannot live in the spectacular. God's desire for you, God's faith in God, the faith of your Christian walk is one that's relevant where you are today. You don't need to be anywhere else. You don't need to change jobs. You don't need to change schools. You don't need to change vocations in order for God to use you and to let His power be lived in you. See what He says. Now we're going to go back to verse 15. He says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." Why? Because the days are evil. Wouldn't you agree with him on that? That we live in a fallen world? That you're not going to have the answer to every question? That you don't know why somebody gets healed and somebody doesn't and dies? That you don't know why someone can accept Christ and walk in victory and be, their addictions are gone, the chains are free, and you're struggling year after year. Life is real. The Christian life is real. Keep on being filled, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You will need to be working your field. the spectacular is fun to go to. It's a neat rodeo weekend activity. But you can't live on it. And God knows, he says, understand what the Lord's will is. You will need, at different times in your life, some incredible, supernatural, three-turbo power of the Holy Spirit. And he's there. And he's available. And I like to say that where I have experienced that type of power has been in the times of struggling with addictions, where all of a sudden you just realize, looking back, how the Holy Spirit protected you, kept you, gave you power, and your life has never been the same since that day. But that's not the only day. There are different days, and I could mark them. I could talk about a few of them in my life. I can't go back and just say, here it is, this is the day. I accepted Christ, I was baptized, I was by the Holy Spirit, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's it. I need that every day. Life is real. Life is messy. Life has questions. When he talks about speaking to each other with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord, he's talking about real life, everyday life. He's not talking about a one-time thing. Going back to Acts, we see that real, that everyday life for them in the life of the church, the persecuted church. Peter and John were arrested. The authorities began to question them. And they said, by what power or what name did you do this? Healed this man that was crippled. See, people who were non-believers saw the power, the spectacular power in this case, that God used to catch their attention. But here's something. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, did nothing spectacular at all, other than to say, rulers and elders of the people, and he began to preach. At the end of that chapter, notice that they were praying. The place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They spoke the word of God boldly. They spoke the word of God boldly. The Holy Spirit's work and power in our lives, when we engage him, we begin to, Christ begins to exude out of us. And you can't help it. You don't have to hype it up. You just have to allow it to overflow from your life. Experiencing this power, the power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, working in my life. How can this type of Spirit-filled life be a reality? It's not that one-time thing. It's a daily exercise of keeping in step with him. Driving downtown Saskatoon many years ago, we came to a red light, and sure enough, there was a Camaro beside me. He was edging, just itching to have a little bit of a race with me. And he was watching the light, so I figured, okay, I'll watch. I can do this. The light changed, and wham, the accelerator went to the floor. So did his. He surged ahead, and I made a lot of noise. In my focus of watching the light, my wonderful wife had slipped over and slipped my gear shift into neutral. I say that because she was able to do that. Why? Because I was so focused on that car and on that light. In my life, there have been many times that if my life isn't where I'd like it to be spiritually, I realize the power is all there. But some distraction and focus in my life, I don't even realize it. My life is in neutral. And you know, then just when I need it, I step on it, and there's nothing there. Is it the fault of the motor of the car? It isn't. Do you see what I'm saying? You and I don't have this power in ourselves, and yet it is up to us to engage it. There is no excuse for me to still be struggling with addiction of pornography today. There's no excuse. I can walk in victory and have had the joy of walking in victory. Why? Because I have the power? No. But I have to stay engaged. I have to stay engaged. That's my job. That's my responsibility. To stay engaged. The Lord, through the work of His Holy Spirit, will do the rest of it. How can I live a more consistent, successful Christian life? Keeping in step with the Holy Spirit and keeping on being filled by Him. Let's pray. Father, I sometimes can't wrap my mind around this wonderful truth of the power that's available to us through the Holy Spirit to live victorious, consistent, successful Christian lives. I'd like for you to just zap it into my life and I never had to do anything. It always is there. But out of your great love for us and your wisdom of relationships, you have made this power available to us, and that we need to be plugged in to the source before it can be activated in our lives. Teach us, Lord, what this means for each of us as individuals. May not a one of us go away defeated, but rather enjoying to the fullest the power you desire to display through our lives. Amen.